Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
One sign of the increasing visibility of West Virginia's continuing water problems is lawyer Aaron Brockovich showing up in Charleston.
We've got to stop our laissez-faire attitude about safety last, money first, because it's not working. It's not making any business sense to me.
Brockovich speaking in Charleston there, and she says her firm is investigating the spill that has affected the water of more than 300,000 West Virginians, some of whom may end up as plaintiffs, suing those responsible for leaching the chemical MCHM, a solvent used in the coal extraction process, into the water supply. Coal is a big industry in the state, and while more people are getting their taps turned back on...
The neighbor came out and said, did you know? And I rushed back to my parents and got theirs flushed, then rushed over here and started working on mine.
That's Charleston resident Bobby Holland, overjoyed there over the restoration of her water yesterday. But there are still contamination worries, even in neighborhoods where the water has been deemed safe, safe to shower in, safe to cook with, safe to drink. Joining me now, Dr. Elizabeth Brown, Charleston-based general practitioner, internal medicine doctor who has been treating victims of the chemical spill. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So there's two categories here. One, people who have actually been contaminated with MCHM, and then people who are probably calling you with worries and concerns about being able to trust their water supply. What are you seeing?
I am seeing a mix of all of that. I think people are scared. I think people are nervous. We're not getting any information on the safety of the water, even after it's been deemed safe to flush. There is no long-term data on MCHM. There's not even any short-term data on it. There's really nothing that we can be certain about.
Now, when you say safe to flush, that means the recommendation that people can then run their water, get the water flushed from their pipes, and the new supply is free of contamination, right?
Correct. We were given a protocol by West Virginia American Water as to how to flush our system, and most people followed that recommendation. And soon after they used that water that was supposedly safe, they started to develop some concerning symptoms.
What sorts of symptoms? Let me see what the range is you're getting.
The first ones that I saw Monday afternoon were in the form of skin rashes. I had a couple of patients who flushed their systems, then waited about 45 minutes. Then one gentleman ran his hands under the water and sustained a pretty severe rash. He had a swelling of his hands, some welts, and even what appeared to be a chemical burn under his wedding band. The other gentleman showered and sustained a head-to-toe rash. It was involving the scalp, the face, the back, the trunk. It was very painful, itching, burning. Those were the first symptoms. As people started to drink the water, we began to see sore throats, nosebleeds, some nausea, vomiting, and even people with breathing difficulties had some trouble after inhaling the steam or the vapors of the water.
That sounds pretty nasty. How easy is it to link all of these symptoms to a specific contaminant?
Well, it's a little bit tricky, and I don't know that all of the symptoms are a direct cause of the water. I think we can be confident that the skin irritation sustained right after exposing yourself to the water is a pretty good link. I think we have to keep in mind it's still cough, cold, and flu season, so we are going to be encountering some normal germs, and maybe some of the symptoms are not due to the water. I think it's now the job of the physician and our responsibility to see these patients, document everything, and then do some testing and long-term follow-up to try to figure it out.
I can already hear the lawyers arguing over whether it's cold and flu season or this contamination that's behind the symptoms. But I suspect you've had to do a little brush-up on your college chemistry. What does this chemical agent do in its normal uses, and how might we extrapolate what it would do on the skin?
That's the problem. There is no information on that. This has never tested in humans. There is one study that was done on lab rats, and the study involved the lethal dose. It was called the LD50, or the median lethal dose to kill rats when they fed it to them. And based on that number, the scientists did a series of uncertainty factors, extrapolating how it would affect humans, and then trying to extrapolate to a non-harmful level, and then and doing another factor to try to arrive at that less than one part per million figure. There is no data to back that up. And from what I'm seeing, people who are using water that's supposed to be safe, it's really not.
You know, how much is this, you know, the sort of aftermath also an anxiety concern where people who absolutely trust their water, I mean, you turn on your tap, you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden you have a constant worry, and even if you're told the water is fine, you're still going to have anxiety. Are you dealing with people who are just nervous and basically freaked out?
Absolutely. I did a live web chat with our local news station last night for an hour and a half, literally answering people's questions. People are scared. People need to know they're not alone. And part of the scariest part is that our health department has come out and said, we have to believe the water company. We have to believe it's safe. They're telling us it's safe. So that's what we have to believe. And my feeling is that I'm not ready to believe that. I will believe it when it's zero parts per million and I have not seen any rashes or new problems. And then there's the concern about the long-term effects. We don't know how it accumulates in the body. We don't know how it's metabolized. And we don't know any effects on unborn children. This is certainly something that I'm seeing a lot of anxiety for.
And you're certainly going to see the results of that about 9 months from now, or even a few months from now, as the implications for pregnant women become clear at birth, and God forbid there are any problems.
Well, the CDC just last night came out with the recommendation that pregnant women do not drink this water. Up until yesterday, they were told, everybody was told it was safe. And that's just, I think, the beginning of some revisions to the recommendations that are being made. And of course, we don't know anything about it. So I don't know how anyone can say that it is safe at this point.
Is this a public water company or a private company that manages the water in Charleston?
I believe it's public because the range of area has spanned about 9 counties. It's one of the largest systems here in the Kanawha Valley, and it's affected 300,000 people.
Do people trust this company? Has it had a good reputation up until now?
I believe it has. I think the company has done an amazing job at getting things cleaned up. It was actually Freedom Industries, who is a company that was helping with the coal cleanup process, that had the error. It was not West Virginia American Water. But now the water company is doing a lot of the testing, and they are the ones that are saying the water is safe. So I think they are still in this. I think they need to be maybe a little more vigilant, and I want to see more data.
Dr. Elizabeth Brown, Charleston, West Virginia-based general practitioner who's been treating victims of the chemical spill that has restricted access to water for as many as 300,000 people in West Virginia. Dr. Brown, thanks so much.
Thank you.